Joe Fillmore Street. This is SpielPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's lovely Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 21st of May. Sorry, I still have a bit of a cough, so some of that may be happening in this session as well. On this date in 1851, slavery is abolished in Columbia, South America. 1856, Lawrence, Kansas is captured and burned by pro-slavery forces. 1864, Russia declares an end to the Russo-Circassian War. Many Circassians are forced into exile. Day is designated the Circassian Day of Mourning. 1901, Connecticut enacts the first speed limit law for motor vehicles, 12 miles per hour in cities, 15 in country roads. 1932, Amelia Earhart completes the first solo female transatlantic flight. 1955, Chuck Berry records Maybelline for Chess Records. 1979, the White Knights riot in San Francisco following the lame manslaughter conviction on the Twinkie defense of Dan White for the assassinations of Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk. 1988, due to fighting in and around Karabakh, Gorbachev dismisses Demirchian from Armenia and Bagheera from Azerbaijan. Doesn't really do much. 1991, former Indian Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi is assassinated by a female suicide bomber near Madras. And on that same day, Mengistu Haile Mariam, president of the People's Democratic Republic of Ethiopia, flees Ethiopia, effectively bringing the Ethiopian civil war to an end and ensuring Eritrean independence. 1994, the Democratic Republic of Yemen unsuccessfully attempts to secede from the Republic of Yemen. War breaks out. 2006, the Republic of Montenegro holds a referendum proposing independence from the State Union of Serbia and Montenegro. 55% of Montenegrins vote for independence. Birthdays today are Henri Rousseau, Andrei Sakharov, Fats Waller, Mary Robinson, Al Franken, Mr. T, and Notorious B.I.G. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast was written by Ari Swiecka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tepeelpod.com or send us an email at tepeelpod@gmail.com. EU's Eastern Partnership Regional Summit begins in Riga, Latvia on the 21st of May, that being today, until the 22nd. The Georgian delegation was led by Prime Minister Garibashvili. On the sideline of the summit, he plans to have bilateral meetings with Angela Merkel, Francois Hollande, as well as counterparts from Italy, Sweden, Belgium, Croatia, Slovenia, Bulgaria, and Greece. Georgia's been pushing for visa-free travel to the EU in the months before the meeting. As a reminder, earlier in May, President Mark Velashvili, Prime Minister Khadabashvili, and Speaker of Parliament Dato Zubashvili wrote a joint letter to the EU asking its members to give Georgia a perspective to become a member and also endorse visa-free travel for Georgians to the EU. As we've been telling you for a while, and listeners will know, it's not going to happen. In an interview with Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty, day before the summit, European Council President Donald Tusk said that while Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine have the right to aspire to EU membership, oh thanks, he will not deliver an empty promise about the prospect of integration. Addressing the German Bundestag before the summit began on the 21st, Angela Merkel reiterated that visa-free travel for citizens of Georgia and Ukraine in the Schengen area will only be possible once all requirements are met, referring to the report of the European Commission on the implementation of the VLAP, as it's called by Georgia and Ukraine. Merkel said that both countries put in a great deal of effort, but it is not yet enough, and a lot still needs to be done. About 100, by the way, the European Alumni Association of Georgia has published on their Facebook page a copy of exactly what needs to be done in English, if anybody is interested. About 100 members of the European Parliament released a joint statement the day before the summit addressing heads of government of EU member states to voice unequivocal and determined solidarity for Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine and their pro-European agendas at the summit. They said the EU's commitment to the Eastern Partnership countries is more urgent because of Russia's enormous military, political, and economic propaganda pressure on the three countries. They argue, quote, the European Union should send a positive signal with regard to these countries' future membership in the European Union. Opening the perspective of such membership would represent a significant incentive to further democratic reforms, as well as sending an appropriate and powerful signal in the currently strained geopolitical situation, end quote. As mentioned earlier, some said that no to visa-free travel was political and basically Hollande and Merkel. Others said the government didn't dot all the I's and cross all the T's. I tend to think that it was mainly the latter, but all the pretrial detentions of the UNM leadership probably hasn't helped matters either. Georgia and the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development have reached an initial agreement on a $25 million loan to finance the construction of the country's first wind power plant located in Gori. Total estimated cost of the wind farm is $35 million. It'll have a capacity of 20 megawatts. It's being developed by the state-owned Georgian Energy Development Fund. EBRD is giving $31.5 million to Georgia's Basis Bank under the Caucasus Energy Efficiency Program. The package includes $200 million financing for corporations and $10 million for small and medium enterprises, including a line of credit for energy efficiency investments. Basis Bank will provide sub-loans to local companies to finance acquisitions, expansions, and modernization, and EBRD will provide a $10.9 million loan to healthcare provider Eversi Pharma for the modernization of any infectious disease hospitals in Tbilisi and for the construction of a pediatric and maternity hospital in Barnauli. The deal was announced during the EBRD's annual meeting in Tbilisi. Eversi Pharma is a part of Eversi Group, which produces and sells pharmaceutical products. Minister of Economy Georgi Kvitikashvili led a delegation on an official visit to Iran, where he met Iran's foreign minister, petroleum minister, and vice president. He led a meeting of Georgia-Iran Joint Commission. This will be the fifth Georgian-Iranian Cooperation Commission session, but the first one in the last 10 years. Kvitikashvili said Georgia and Iran have developed a bilateral cooperation plan in the transport, energy, and manufacturing sectors. The mayors of Tbilisi and Tehran signed a twinning agreement between the two cities in Tehran. After the visit, Tbilisi Mayor Dato Narmania announced that they are working on visa facilitation and on operating direct flights between Tbilisi and Tehran in a month's time. The president of Austria, Heinz Fischer, was on an official visit to Georgia on the 18th and 19th of May. He met with President Margvelashvili, the prime minister, and the patriarch. Ilya II told Fischer that Georgia's European choice is very firm and the country will definitely achieve it. There was also a Georgian-Austria business forum. Parliamentary Speaker Dato Zubashvili attended the NATO Parliamentary Assembly session in Budapest on the 18th of May. He addressed the assembly and said that Georgia is ready for NATO membership as some members were at the time that they were invited, and that NATO should either give Georgia a membership action plan during the next NATO summit in Warsaw 2016, or, very reasonably, declare that MAP is no longer a precursor to eventual full membership. He said that such a decision at the NATO Warsaw summit next year would be a decisive step in the most adequate response to Georgia's NATO aspirations. Speaking at the same time, at the same NATO event earlier, NATO Deputy Secretary General Alexander Vershbo said that although Georgia currently has all the tools to prepare the country for membership, previous decisions that a MAP should be the next stage on Georgia's path towards eventual membership still stand. Zubashvili also reiterated Georgia's invitation to host the NATO Parliamentary Assembly session in 2017. Government is preparing to drastically cut the state budget to deal with the drop in the lottery. Members of the ruling coalition said that the budget will be cut by 500 to 700 million lottery. The size of the state budget for 2015 as it stands is 8 billion lottery. So something like 8-9%. Last week, EBRD downgraded its prognosis of Georgia's economic growth to 2.3%, down from 4.2% in January. EBRD's prognosis for 2016 is 2.6%. After the report was published, Minister of Economy Kvitikashvili said that at the end of the second quarter, the budget would be adjusted considering the new prognosis. On that note, the IMF has further reduced its economic growth outlook for Georgia. According to the new IMF forecast for the 2015-16, Georgia will have 2% economic growth 2015, 3% 2016, while inflation will increase to 3% this year and 5% the year after. The report was published as a delegation from the IMF is visiting Georgia to prepare recommendations regarding the budget performance for the first 5 months of the year. Investment company Dahabi Group pledged to invest an additional $250 million in Georgia. The additional funding will go to two projects that they've earlier invested heavily in banking and hospitality sectors. It will further support KSB Bank, Dahabi Group's chairman, Sheikh Nahyan Mubarak Al Nahyan, owns 45% of the shares of KSB. And the funds will also go towards the construction of the five-star Millennium Biltmore Hotel Complex in central Tbilisi, next to the Radisson Blue Iveria Hotel. The hotel is still under construction and is expected to open in January 2016. Dahabi Group has already invested $140 million in the Millennium Biltmore Hotel construction. In Tbilisi this week, there was a Georgia-UAE business forum chaired by Kharibashvili and with the official delegation from the UAE, including their economy minister. Kharibashvili announced that Georgia will open an embassy in Abu Dhabi, the capital of the United Arab Emirates, and a consulate general of Georgia to Dubai. Here's a recommendation for the Dahabi Group. Invest some of that in fixing the walkway in front of the Ameli building between the Smart Store, the sidewalk in front of which is used as a parking lot, and the sidewalk that goes to the opera. It is horrendous that it is allowed to be that way right in the middle of Tbilisi and has been for years. That's the building that's going to be the glamorous Biltmore something or other. Anybody who tries to walk there will know what I'm talking about. Dato Normania, Mayor, I'm talking to you. Parliamentary delegation is visiting China this week from the 19th to the 27th of May. The delegation will participate in the 19th Investment and Trade Forum cooperation between East and West China and the Silk Road International Exposition. As a reminder, a Chinese delegation visited Georgia last week and gave Georgia about 245 units of agricultural machinery and tractors while the two parties signed an economic agreement. Prime Minister Kharibashvili met with his Armenian counterpart, Hovik Abramian, in Batumi on the 17th of May, who is on a working visit to Georgia. Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli was appointed three new deputy ministers last week, Dato Ebrelidze, Besik Loladze, and Anadolidze. First Deputy Minister Ebrelidze will be in charge of procurement and finance issues. He previously worked in the State Audit Office. Loladze will be the Parliamentary Secretary of the Ministry. Dolidze will work in the direction of human rights in the ministry. Two more deputy ministers will be appointed soon. Justice Minister Tetsu Lukiani said that 2 years ago in 2013, about 25 tons of hazardous waste was found on the roof of the Justice House in Tbilisi. She claimed it was hidden there by the past government. She said she's asked the Prosecutor General's office to look into the case. She implied that ex-Minister of Justice Zura Adeshili was responsible, or his former deputy, Georgi Vashadze, who was responsible for building the Justice House. Vashadze is currently a member of parliament. Adeshvili holds an official post in the Justice Ministry in Ukraine. UNM people say that the fact that she's only mentioning it this late is a sign of political persecution. On the 18th of May, the Energy and Water Regulatory Commission rejected a request by Georgian Water and Power to increase the cost of water in Tbilisi. Georgian Water and Power supply water to about 413,000 households and 16,200 commercial entities in Tbilisi. They filed a rate hike request in January. The company sought an increased rate for households by about 55 tetri from the current 3.15 lari to 3.7 per month. The Energy and Water Regulatory Commission said it does not expect a new review of tariffs until the end of 2016. Georgia Water and Power said in a written statement that the refusal to increase the tariff violates the purchase and sale agreement signed with the government, the state-owned water utility company, which privatized in 2007. Georgian Water and Power said that the agreement envisages review of the tariff by 2015. The company calls on the government to voice its position over the Regulatory Commission's decisions. On that note, existing water rates have been the same since December 2010, when the tariff increased by over 31%. The Energy and Water Regulatory Commission is now considering a request from Energy Pro Georgia, an electricity distribution company, which is seeking an increase in the electricity cost. Energy Minister Kahi Feladze said last week the government would consider targeted subsidizing of electricity tariff increases. By the way, if anybody knows who actually owns the water supply in Georgia, this company that just was turned down, let me know. I was complaining about that when it was privatized and was told by Kacha Bendukidze that everybody knows that it's these guys in Moscow, but I don't really know who they are, and it doesn't seem to be on the internet. So if anybody knows, let me know. International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia on the 17th of May was marked more or less in secret in Tbilisi by gay rights groups. They said they were going to have a manifestation on Facebook. There were a lot of Facebook pictures floating around. Time and location of the demonstration was kept secret. Journalists and activists had to register beforehand. A few dozen people gathered to Round Garden in Bakke at 11 a.m. They were surrounded by hundreds of police who blocked off all the streets entering the circle. The main message at this year's event was celebrating a ruling this week by the European Court of Human Rights. Said that the police did not properly protect people demonstrating on the 17th of May 2012 who were then attacked. The court also ruled the government had to pay them several thousand euro in compensation. Also on the 17th of May, activists from the Women's Initiative's supportive group showed up on the Vashnadze Street where peaceful protesters were violently dispersed on the 17th of May 2013, among them me, by an angry mob led by Orthodox priests. They had a, or at least supported by Orthodox priests, they had 15-minute gathering with the 25th article of the Constitution written on posters, the article for freedom of assembly. There was a third gathering outside of the Prosecutor General's office organized by LGBT Georgia. There were no police protection. They demanded that the Prosecutor General's office draft a bill that makes it easier for people who have changed their sex to change their ID documents. And any gay rights demonstration took place near Rustaveli, including some priests. They said they came to mark Family Purity Day. The demonstrators marched to some epic cathedral in Ablabadi. General Anatoly Kurilev, the former commander of Russia's 58th Army in southern military district, was appointed chief of the general staff of the armed forces of Abkhazia. Well, what do you know? During the August 2008 war, General Kurilev was a commander of the 58th Army at the time and was wounded in South Ossetia. Before the appointment was announced, Abkhaz leader Raul Khachimba met Vladimir Putin in Sochi on the 15th of May. As a reminder, Noble Partner military exercises focused on enhancing U.S. and Georgia NATO response force interoperability, including 600 Georgian and U.S. service members, is ongoing at the Vaziani base outside of Tbilisi. One more Georgian citizen from the Pankizi Gorge was killed in the war in Syria. Ibrahim Satsashvili, aged 33, left his home village in Sinabani about 2 months ago. His relatives knew that he was in Turkey. It's not yet known whether he died fighting. He is at least the 12th Pankizi resident to die in the Syrian war. It's mostly young people who were recruited by ISIS and other radical groups to go from Georgia through Turkey to Syria. As a reminder, in early April, two teenagers disappeared from Pankizi one day to become fighters. In Syria, because one was a minor, he shouldn't have been allowed to travel to Turkey without being questioned. The Interior Ministry is investigating. On the 18th of May, Russian border guards detained a 67-year-old man near the village of Adzvi, which borders South Ossetia, while he was out in the field looking after cattle. Witnesses say the Russian approached him with two others in a WAZ vehicle and asked them to follow, but the two others managed to escape. It's not yet known where the man was taken. People who are detained are usually placed in a detention facility in Skhinvali and are released after paying $60, and I say with air quotes, fine for, and I say with air quotes, illegally crossing the border. Last week, Russian border guards detained two boys from the same village, one elderly man from Sakhor Intlo. Boys were released later the same day. According to new figures by IDFI based on data from the Ministry of Internal Affairs, 2,117 Georgians have been detained by Russian border guards since 2009 for illegally crossing the border into Abkhazia and South Ossetia. According to Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister Grigory Karasin, the informal talks between Georgia and Russia may be expanded from the current one-on-one format. Prime Minister's representatives at the talks, Zura Abashidze, said that considering that he and Karasin are discussing trade and economic relations during the talks, it would be logical if the economy minister also attended. But details are being worked on. The Hilton Batumi Hotel opened on the 18th of May, a five-star hotel, cost $130 million. It has two buildings in central Batumi, where one is a hotel and the second an apartment building. Complex boasts 23 floors and 247 rooms, 7 meeting rooms, a ballroom, a 24-hour business center, an executive lounge, spa, beauty area, fitness center, indoor pool, several restaurants, sky bar on the 20th floor. Prime Minister Garibashvili was at the hotel opening as part of the Strong Regions for a Strong Georgia campaign. He announced several future projects under which more than $1 billion will be invested in the Ajada region. Recon Group Georgia will invest $50 million in a new hotel. Orbi Group will invest $30 million in a new hotel and apartment complex. And Yalcini will invest $9 million in a 100-bedroom hotel. Following up on last week's story, the 10-day strike of port workers in Poti ended. More than 600 workers were demanding 14% pay raise, annual award called the 13th paycheck, and to review the content of their collective contracts. APM Terminals Poti agreed to some of their demands, but not the 14% increase in salary, and is instead increasing by 5%. The 19th of May, there was a large fire in a Baku apartment complex that killed at least 15 people, including a number of young children. Baku residents are angry, calling on the authorities to remove the flammable polyurethane panels that cover old buildings, which was part of the beautification process. In mid-June, Baku is set to hold the first European Games sports competition. Heavy rain in eastern Georgia caused a lot of damage, destroying agricultural lands, harvests, and killing livestock. The Alazani River flooded, tore down electricity poles. More than 6,000 people are without electricity in Pankisi, Akhmeta, and Lagodeci. Georgia's entry in the 2015 Eurovision Song Contest, Nina Sublati, is in the top 10 and will perform in the grand finale on the 23rd of May in Vienna. Sublati performed her song Warrior in the first semifinal of the contest on the 19th of May and was selected to move on. 26th of May will be Independence Day in Georgia and a public holiday. Garibashvili's press office received a letter from President Obama congratulating the Georgian people and saying that the two countries share a strong, vibrant, and a strategic partnership. The movement Ori Ivnisi plans to hold a rally on, you guessed it, the 2nd of June, demanding the decriminalization of marijuana in Georgia, front of the government offices, the chancery. As far as I know, the campaigners have two demands: to stop jailing people for personal use of marijuana and to stop forced random drug tests. As a note, under the association agreement with the EU, Georgia's supposed to liberalize drug-related legislation and also separate criminal responsibility for drug dealing from personal drug use. Construction workers building a new highway connecting Tbilisi with Rustavi are on strike. They're demanding a 10 lari pay raise on their current 20 lari per day. They said it's needed because Aladi's value has dropped 30% since November 2014. They explained that when they signed their contracts with a Chinese construction company, one U.S. dollar was 1.65 lari, while today one U.S. dollar is more than 2.3 lari, subject to change, of course. Construction of the first section of the highway began in April and is scheduled to last 17 months. It's being financed by the Asian Development Bank and the government of Georgia. The Georgia National Film Center, GNFC, announced that Tbilisi will host a local version of the Gifoni Film Festival, one of the largest children's film festivals in Europe. It'll be from the 16th to the 19th of October 2015. Meanwhile, the original festival will be held for the 45th time in a small town of Gifoni Vallepiana in southern Italy in mid-July. About 500 children from 8 countries will take part in the Georgian version, where they will see films, learn about the filmmaking process, judge films, and award the prizes. The Georgian film Invisible Spaces, directed by Dea Kulumbegashvili, won the Best International Short Film Award at the Rome Independent Film Festival, held on the 7th to the 15th of May. It's about family hierarchy, religion, and women. The 1st of June, Pietro Smani's painting Arsenal Hill at Night will be sold at Christie's auction in London. The painting is believed to be Pietro Smani's most expensive creation. Christie's art experts estimate its worth between $1.25 million and $1.87 million US dollars. Georgian Judokas Ziad Gogochauri was crowned world champion at the International Blind Sports Association World Games in Seoul, South Korea. Gogochauri competed in the under 90 kg class and won all five of his fights, where he defeated Korean, Ukrainian, Canadian, Uzbek, and British athletes. Parliamentary news: on the 15th of May, Parliament failed for a second time last week to hold a session due to lack of quorum. At least 76 members of Parliament were required for the session to be opened, but only 67 MPs underwent registration. Some UNM lawmakers were present but refused to undergo registration. They said they are boycotting in order to show that the parliamentary majority is incapable of working. Parliamentary Speaker Datu Supashvili explained that many of the Georgian Dream Coalition lawmakers were absent either on foreign visits or because they were in Tbilisi participating in the EBRD annual meeting and business forum. Lawmakers from the Free Democrats were also absent. They were attending a court trial of former Ministry of Defense officials in Tbilisi court. The meme this week is Nina Sublati's costume for Eurovision. Big black feathers on her shoulders, which everyone is comparing to Game of Thrones, probably Jon Snow style. Stuff to read, a research article by the ever-brilliant Gavin Slade, as well as Laura Piacentini, in the theoretical criminology on prison system in Georgia. It says that despite attempts at reforming prison systems in some post-Soviet countries to more Western standards, the culture of penal collectivism survived, where, for example, there's a dispersal of authority and governance to prisoners themselves. Luke Coffey in Al Jazeera writes on Pankisi as fertile ground for problems with Islamic extremism. BBC's Raymond Dimitri gives a big overview of Georgia's political woes in context of EU's disappointment and a natural lean to Russia. Andrew North, married to Natalia Antolova, reports for The Guardian from the ABL with South Ossetia. He talks on creeping annexation, the destruction of villages and livelihoods, and Georgia's mixed bag attitude towards Russia and the EU. The Economist also puts Georgia's general homophobia into the context of choosing between Europe and Russia. Financial Times on how Georgia's hopes over Europe have turned to disappointment. There's a paywall. CRC investigates if Georgia's parents actually view the qualities they claim it is important for children to learn, things like tolerance and hard work. It's quite interesting. Take a look at this one. All that stuff's posted on our forum. This week's geocapital number is 2.3234. This is Alari's value compared to the dollar for the 21st of May, as set by the National Bank. It's going up. Head of the National Bank, Georgi Kadagidze, said he does not expect the lari to depreciate further in the midterm period. He said the lari has gained value because the existing depreciation influences the tax balance. Imports have been corrected, and the lari exchange rate is not being so pressured anymore. He said that now there's tourist season, which is helping, and hearing in Parliament the well-known economic genius Eka Veselia parroted BI and saying that Kadagidze should have drained Georgia's foreign reserves to temporarily support the lari. He said, yeah, no. American Friends of Georgia is celebrating 20 years of their work helping needy children in Georgia. They're having a benefit at an event in New York on the 4th of June at 6 p.m. at the Ukrainian Institute of America on Fifth Avenue, with an exhibition sale of Georgian art and a concert. If you'd like to attend, get tickets at alphafoxtrotgeorgia.org. In New York, Liana Izakadze, violin and artistic director of World Chamber Ensemble Virtuoso, will perform a Love and Peace concert at Carnegie Hall on the 6th of June. Please get tickets on the Carnegie website. In Tbilisi from the 22nd to the 24th of May is the Book and Music Festival at the Tbilisi Event Hall. Also in Tbilisi, Amidani Cinema is playing the well-known feminist action movie Mad Max Fury Road every day until the 27th of May at 8 p.m. in English. The Age of Adeline and The Age of Adeline every day until the 27th at 10:30. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tfeelpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tfeelpod.com. And to finish, I'd encourage you to look into the story of the release of this song. Many say the very first rock and roll song to be publicly released and heavily played on the radio. Just a preview, Muddy Waters figures prominently. So, we will finish with, predictably, from 1955, this is Chuck Berry and Maybelline.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the things you used to do. As I was motivating over the hill, I saw Maybelline in a coupe de ville. A Cadillac rolling on an open road, nothing out of run, my vehicle. A Cadillac doing about 95, bumper to bumper, rolling side to side. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the things you used to do. A Cadillac pulled up to 104, my phone got hot and wouldn't do no more. The gun got cloud and started to rain. I tooted my horn for the passing lane. My rainwater blowing all under my hood. I knew that was doing my motor good. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the things you used to do. Cadillac looking like it's setting still, and I caught Maybelline at the top of the hill. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the things you used to do.